check session number 27730, reel 6.
Mr. Bob Lunt, reel 6. We're talking about these Bedford QL lorries, and none of you like them now.
And we were detailed to go from Bryngwen up to Scotland. And it was a nice run. We went up the A, eventually got up to the A1, and we stayed on the A1 until we got to Scotch Corner. That's where I was introduced to Scotch Corner. We went across the dales there and came out by Kendal. That was on the A6. A6? No, it wasn't the A6. It came out at Penrith. The A6.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
The A6 from Penrith up to Carlisle, and then from Carlisle we picked up the A74. And then we went to Strathaven, Strathaven. That's just outside Glasgow. And the company stayed there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. I must tell you about something, and there's something really funny.
What were you doing up there?
Again, as what we've been doing for all our life, was they get in touch with the CO or the orderly room. We want a lorry to go and pick some men up from A and take them to B, B back to A and come back, whatever. Used to go and pick up stores in Glasgow and take it round to all the depots that wanted stores, like the gun sites and the searchlight depots. And we did the same kind of things as what the RASC were intended for, to carry stores and men, ammunition and what have you. Anyway, went to, I was walking down to the lines, and this one of the fellas said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going down to the vehicles, clean my vehicle up." He said, "Haven't you seen the CO's orders?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you're on CO parade this morning." I said, "Oh my God." So I rushed back and got changed and rushed down to the orderly room, and Sergeant Major there said, "Where you been to, XYZ?" He said, why are you late?" So I said, "Well, I was going somewhere else and suddenly realised I was due here." So he said, "Well, you're on CO's orders." I said, "Well, I haven't done anything wrong." He said, "Well, I didn't think so because you're not on my list." Anyway, he said, "The informer, you're under escort. Left, right turn. Quick march, right wheel, halt, right turn." And I'm standing right in front of the new CO, Major Lewis. We had a name for him. We named him Tojo, because he always wanted to get abroad. And he would have got us down into Japan if it had been his wish. Anyway, he said, "I've got a letter here." Oh, the sergeant major took my cap off, stood as a prisoner and escort. I was then a prisoner. So I said, "I've got a letter here from War Office about you, Driver Lun. You've haven't been writing to your mother. And as soon as he said that, I thought, you don't know your king's rules. So I said, excuse me, sir. Sorry to butt in. Am I on a charge? No. No, he said, you're not. I said, well, why am I under prisoner and escort? And he said to the sergeant major, why is Driver Lun under escort? He said, well, he's down here on the charge. He said, no, he's not on the charge. This is a private matter. So he said, you best march him out again. But he's had to put me cap back on it again. Come to attention, right turn, and off we went out. Well, what happened was when we went out and we're swinging our arm, because the Sergeant Major was very smart on that, there was a, went past his table and there was a wire basket full of letters on the corner. And as I swung my arm up in the air, my tunic button caught the end of the end of the wire cage, and it came up and it went right up in the air. And all these letters, they were like confetti floating down. Well, of course, there was all the officers there, and marched out, and George Ross, and known personally as the Sergeant Major, he said, that was bloody clever, that was. I hope that. He said, you're going to be on a charge, you know, not on a charge now, but you will be when you come out again. Anyway, the two escorts stood down, and they were in laughter. And I thought, well, I don't know. I've come here, I'm not on a charge, I am a charge, I want a charge. Anyway, it was I was brought back in. And I then had to salute the officer because it wasn't a charge. He said, right, we'll get back. He said, I've had a letter from your war office that came from your mother. You haven't been in touch with her since your father died. I said, well, I'm pretty annoyed with the family because they sold my father's business and got rid of the yard and everything else. And I've come back to the army and I'm not very pleased with them. He said, are you going to hold this grudge against your mother forever? I said, no, I said, probably got over it by now. He said, well, when you leave here, when you go home to back to your billets, you'll get your writing pad out and you'll write her a nice letter. Now then, Sergeant Major, there's another matter. There's all my letters that had to be picked up by my other officers. I think it was an accident, but I think you ought to be charged for destroying War Office paper. So he said, you'll do the necessary, will you? I thought, well, God, I thought, in nicest pie of women, he's put me on a charge the next. So he walked me out. But the letter basket had been pushed back then, so I couldn't do it again. So I got outside, he said, I thought you'd be on charge. He said, I'm ever sorry about this, but he said, it's happened. Anyway, two escorts stand up. Right. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Round. Back into the office, and I got 7 days beyond the guard, full marching order. And it was full marching order. There was your water bottle, there was your panniers for your cartridges, there was the your cap, your haversack on your left, and there was a full haversack on the back, and that in our lot had to be squared. It didn't go if flopped, you know, if you didn't have anything in the backpack, it used to sink. So we used to square them. If it was a nice day, you put a overcoat in. If it was winter, then you put some pieces of timber in to square them up. Your rifle had to be absolutely spot on, which my rifle wasn't. It didn't matter what. Sorry. Didn't matter what you did to my rifle. You could clean it, and it would. You could see your face in the woodwork. But the barrel, you could clean it. But what I had to do was to put a piece of paper or cloth at the end of the muzzle. And when they did pull down for inspection, I had to quickly take this piece of paper or rag out. I used to wet my thumb now, put it into the breech, so it would shine up the barrel. And I was on more charges for that dirty gun than anyone in the army. It was a beautiful gun. I wouldn't have it altered. They said, well, we'll send it to the armourers to clean this rifle. I said, you won't do anything with the rifling. It's got something wrong with the rifling. And you'll never clear it. And I said, the armourers of all over the country have tried to clean this rifle and they can't do it. And they said, well, and that rifle got me on more charges than anything until they got me back into the orderly room and they said, it wasn't the soldier, it's the rifle. The rifle's good. The soldier's good, but the barrel is dirty, and it'll stay dirty. And they used to take it to the rifle range, and they said, used to say, this rifle's perfect. And I used to say, I know it is. They said, well, why are you here? I said, because the rifling inside the barrel, as soon as you clean it, it goes black. They said, well, who's making the complaint? I said, the Major. Major Armstrong we had then. Lewis had left us and we got Armstrong. And it was the worst day's work that 101 had ever done was to have him. God, I just got my stripes back. I hadn't got them back. Oh, 3 months and I lost them again.
Why? Why this time?
Well, I was in charge of a section. Oh no, I'm jumping the gun a bit.
Okay, well let's keep it back to so what was happening while you went to Strathavon? You're doing routine duties. Is that why you did the waterproof training as well?
No, I go into that then, waterproof training.
Well, no, what's next is the thing. You were at Strathavon. What happened?
We went from Strathavon with their lorries up to we got rid of our QLs and we went on to commas, which were lorries just
to commas
comma a comma which was built by Roots Group.
And what were they like?
They were a lovely engine, lovely lorries. They were smashing lorries, very good lorries. I believe they're still being made today, but they're, of course, they're much larger. Comma, COMMERS. They were made at Stoke Coventry.
And what did you like about them so much?
Well, the engines were always good. I know it's silly to say that you like a particular engine or a particular lorry, but it was very good. It was a 3-ton lorry, but it was always good. Anyway, we got these commas and we went up to, where do we go first in Scotland? Strathaven. We went further north. We had these commas, and they said, "You're going on a waterproofing trip." And everybody was very keen on knowing what this waterproofing trip was. Anyway, we went to a place just outside Inverness. I'd have to get the map to look at it because.
It's all right.
Anyway, it was south of Inverness. And it was after Drumna Drocket, and it was on the Loch Ness. It was after Drumna Drocket, so that was Ford Augustus, Invermorriston, Drumna Drocket. There was another one just before Inverness, and I can't think of the name.
Now, what were you doing there?
Went into this camp, and they showed us how to waterproof a lorry.
Now, how do you do it? Can you tell us as much detail as you can remember?
We were put into squads, platoon. We had We had two platoons, 30 lorries each, so that was 60 in the company. So there was 60 lorries had to be waterproofed. They told us what they were going to do to us, and they said, "You've got to, with this grease, waterproof grease, you put it in your engine, on top of your engine, all over your plugs, all over the cylinder, all over the wires, back to your distributor. Seal the distributor and you leave a piece of tape on underneath the gug or grease so that you could pull the tape after you come out the water so the distributor could breathe again." There was, I think it was three tapes we had to leave on. One was on the distributor, one was on the starter motor, and one was on the back axle for the breather. And everything had to be greased up. You had old overalls on. You didn't do it in your best BD, or you'd be on a charge for that. And then you crawl round your wagon, underneath your wagon, all round the gearbox, all along the sump. All the breathers had to be sealed up on your distributors, round the starter motor, all round the plugs of your battery, along the top of your plugs, all on the wires, as I've just previously said. And then the instructors would come along and they would seal, look at all your wagons. And each wagon was passed out. You drove your wagon out to the lock. You get in, there'll be a spare driver with you. You drop back into a landing craft tank. That was an LCT. The ramp would come down and you'd get three vehicles in the craft. They put the ramp up and they back out and go down the lock. They come round and they come up to another concrete hard. The first one off didn't get so much water in his cab as what the second and third did, because the LCT would be slowly pulling away from the side of the lock. When I think I was the second wagon off, and said, come on, Lum, get that wagon out. They were calling from the side, and they get wagon off and get and the water was just about up to my waist. I know Alwyn, he's still around, Alwyn Harrison. He was my spare driver, and he was already standing up. He didn't like sitting in water. And we were driving like this. We came in. Nobody, in fact, the whole of the company, not one lorry got stuck in the water. And they were very pleased with us. They said, spot on, you lot. Well, we didn't like getting wet. Anyway. Sorry. Right. Next thing we knew was we did one or two, had to get all this grease off. And then we took the lorries up to Inverness. We did one or two trips round Inverness. The next thing we knew, we had to go to Wales, back to Wales. Went back to Wales with our commas, and they said, you've got to go on a bit further up into Wales, you've got to go to Tawyn. I said, right, going to Tawyn. Went to Tawyn. Incidentally, our camp then between Strathaven and Inverness, the one in between was Craig Park at Ayr.
Craig Park at Ayr?
Yeah.
That was where you did you?
Yeah, well, that's where we were stationed. And then we got sent back to Wales on this convoy. And we came back. They said, well, you've got to go to Tawyn in northwest Wales. For duck training. Well, of course, there was quite a lot of remarks about that we were going to become farmers to look after ducks. But when we got to this large depot, which was a naval depot, which I understand is still there today, there was all these lovely looking ducks all lined up.
Now, and can you describe what the duck's like for them? Because they can't see it now. If you could just describe that, what a duck was.
Well, can I take that from my... No, you got it.
Well, there's no point reading something. Can you describe what the duck was like?
The duck
they
was...
Can, they can look it up in a book, you see.
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was a GMC lorry wrapped up in steel. in the shape of a boat. Bows, stern. It had six wheels. It was six-wheel driver. And you had to have two men on that dock, because you couldn't get over to put your six wheels in if you were sitting. It was a left-hand drive, so we had to learn left-hand drive driving in England, which was very, very awkward. We went the... you had to learn to drive the ducks first before you learned to do anything else. This was a naval camp, so we knew we were going to get a lot of naval instruction. You could get up to about 60 miles an hour when you're driving them, but the trouble was, being left-hand drives, when you were coming down on the left-hand side of the road, your spare driver had to, if you wanted to pass something, had to make sure that there was nothing coming up on the towards you. And he would say, right, go, and you went. Because you had, I mean, it was a four gear box with an overdrive, so you could really motor with them.
And what were they like to drive on land? I mean,
on land they were beautiful. I mean, it's a silly word to use for, but they were very, very good. They were very good on the seas as well.
And what were they like to drive on the sea? How what was the whole process of going into the sea then?
Well, I have to tell you what we got up to before we went into the sea.
Okay, that's fine.
We went back to school, but it was naval school. We had to learn Morse code, semaphore, knots, wind, compass, tides. I think that covers it.
Now tell me about the signal training first. How far did you go with Morse code and semaphore and all
that? Well, your Morse code, there was two people on Morse code on the duck. That was the number one driver and number two driver. I was number one driver. Owen was number two driver. And the thing I learnt Morse code pretty good. I was pretty good on it. But I was too fast. I can't remember it now, but I was too fast on it. I couldn't pick... You send a message out on code at the same speed as though you were receiving it. Now, Alwyn, he could receive it quicker than sending. So that was a good team. I sent the Morse code and he received it. And that's how we worked. Because the naval teachers said, I'm going to send you a message, Driver Lunn, back as quick as you sent it. And of course, I couldn't pick it up.